Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DH case I've known, and only one thing up for review this week, and it is Madam Web. And oh geez, are you in for a treat. This week I've got Madam Web, and while it is not my intention to pile on to the already existing flood of feedback, we'll call it, that this film is getting, there is really no beating around the bush or the spider web that this is not a very good movie. And I went in with very low expectations, I will say that, like the lowest of the low, and to its credit, it marginally exceeded them, but that's only because I was I don't even know what I was expecting. And I think one of the great challenges is, and I'm going to get a little bit into sort of IP nitty gritty here, is, you know, Sony has the rights to the Spider-Man section of the Marvel Universe. They license out or share custody effectively of the Peter Parker character with the Disney-owned Marvel Studios side of the house. But, you know, they're building their own little Spider-Verse here. But the problem is, because they aren't able to integrate it with the wider one, and they aren't doing a good job of building up their own series of sort of standalone lore, all these movies feel so disjointed and like there's not a larger vision. And I'm not saying that every superhero movie has to be part of these 20, 30, 50 film series, but it still has to be coherent. And the other problem with this movie is that it's trying to give hints that it's tied to the larger Spider-Verse. This is all, you know, I haven't even talked about the film itself yet. So it stars Dakota Johnson as Cassandra Webb, who plays Madam Webb, who is probably not one of the better known Marvel characters, but she's this clairvoyant. And in the comics, she's like a decrepit older lady. She's blind. She's wheelchair bound, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I don't know why you would be like, you know who fits this bill? Dakota Johnson. I don't know if that's an insult or they're just like, you know what? We do not care at all about the origins of the comic book character. But either way, you know, she plays Cassandra Webb, who is effectively an orphan. Tiny spoiler, but this has already clearly been all over the internet. The line about her mom, you know, getting bitten by a spider in the Amazon and giving birth and chasing spider, all that, not in the movie. But she is a foster child. She eventually grows up. She is a paramedic in New York. And then her paths cross with these three young women played by Sydney Sweeney, Celeste O'Connor, and Isabella Merced, all of whom look way too old to be playing the, I don't know, middle school, high school characters that they're supposed to be playing. And they are all being chased by a character called Ezekiel Sims, played by Tahar Rahim. And, you know, my mind is boggled by trying to explain this. So, you know, again, she has the ability to see the future in tiny spurts. And so this allows her to see the visions of danger, and she realizes these girls are in peril, and she sort of takes them under her wings, her legs. I don't know. There's a lot of analogies here. The chemistry between every single character in this film is so bad. It's so bad. It's I like, they're all not in the same movie. The writing is also just something to behold. And this is one of those things, right? So the movie itself, as an experience, it's not good. Let's fully acknowledge this. It's like not good. The film relies too much on this trope of like, oh, she's seeing the future but coming into her powers. And so we see a lot of scenes twice, but like variants of it. And it gets so old. Like, they needed to follow the rule of threes and they didn't. They're like, we're going to rely on this for the entirety of the film, which goes on way too long. But anyway, back to the writing. It is not very good. The screenwriting duo behind it are also responsible for Morbius, Gods of Egypt, The Last Witch Hunter, and Dracula Untold. And I thought slash was hoping that this was going to be Morbius level bad slash campy during the actual viewing of it. And I don't think it is. But now that more people have been able to see it and like the silly conversations are arising around it, like, I'm having more fun discussing it because now other people have seen it. I can be like, look how ridiculous this was. So the most redeeming thing about this film will be your ability, if you see it, will be your ability to participate in the absurdity of the conversations revolving it. And like, there are a few terrible quotable lines in it that, you know, I think especially comic book fans will be, you know, referencing for quite a while. And it's not, part of it might be out of love, but, you know, it's not necessarily going to be in the most like pat on the back, you wrote a great legendary line here way, which I'm just calling it what it is. So the action in this is minimal. The acting is minimal. The script is just, again, unhinged. I'm almost having fun talking about this. So I think that is the key to this movie, right? If you are interested in seeing it for the cultural phenomenon factor, that makes it worth it. And just know that it's going to be absurd and not great. But if you want to participate in the conversation, if you enjoy this, and like, you know, it's hard to make a movie, et cetera, et cetera. I always preface, you know, a movie that I'm not giving a great review to, but this is rough at this point. That's the other thing. So folks are also saying like, oh, Dakota Johnson must have thought that she was joining like a proper MCU film. And my feedback to that is, at this point in time, these have been decades in the making, you know, franchises, branches of the franchises, etc. And this includes the Sony Spider-Verse part of it. So if you are not aware of the separation between the two universes, that's like willful negligence on your part, or your whole team needs to be fired. But you also could have just Googled the box offices of these two films, or the realization that they are not at all tied together except for the main Spider-Man. So, you know, anyone who's like, oh, she thought she was getting into this. No. She should have known what she was getting into. She should have done her due diligence there. I'm not letting her off the hook on this one. Like I said, I came out of it trying to be like, who would I recommend this to, if anyone? And, you know, if you're a casual fan of comic book movies, I don't think you will get as much out of the silly conversation afterwards for this one. Like, I think it might lull you into a false sense of, like, I don't know, earnestness. And so I would suggest you stay away from this. If you are deeply invested in all of these universes, like, you know what you're about to go see. It's fine. Have fun. Enjoy the silliness after. Make some memes. Have a great time. But overall, as if I'm just looking at this as a movie in and of itself, and also a movie that, like, because it's also connected but not connected to anything, like, does a terrible job of setting up where it theoretically should stand in a wider universe. I'm sorry to this film. I'm sorry to me and the rest of the audience who don't get the time from our lives back, but I am going to give it a 1.7 out of 5, and I think I might be being generous there. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.